Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth.
Okay, on a fabulous Friday, August 11th, we are going to have our Do Not Fears, one of my very favorites, Psalm 56.3. Psalm 56.3, penned by King David. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you.
Hallelujah.
And another version is what? Time I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. There's no bad way to say it. Hallelujah.
On today's call, we're going to talk about when God takes no pleasure in you. See, God wants our best. He desires for us to put forth our best effort, not just seeing what we can get by with. It's the way God shows that we desire to be holy, as he is holy.
Yep, we can show him. We can show him by not just our words, our actions.
Consider the words of Leviticus 1:3, 1:3 Classic Amplified. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it at the door of the tent of meeting, that it be accepted before the Lord. The word blemish is the Hebrew word H8549, and it's defined as perfect. The sacrifices needed to be perfect because they symbolized holiness. The book of the Leviticus is primarily about Hebrew worship, how it was done, who was elated, and the kind of sacrifices to be offered, all leading to holiness.
That's
holiness.
Right.
The children of Israel were told to take the very best of their male animals and to offer them as blood sacrifice. The natural mind, the business mind, would have preferred to sacrifice the weak, imperfect, blemished ones who were while holding back the best. They did this in hopes of improving the gene pool
of
the
flock. That's right.
Hallelujah. Scripture in Leviticus is very clear. If you want your offering to be acceptable, then you better bring your best. If God was asking for the best, then the children of Israel had to trust God to replenish their herd with perfection. God never requires a sacrificial gift without giving something greater in return. That's who he is, and that's how he conducts business. Same requirement were involved in the offering of grain. The flour had to be the finest meal. In short, the quality of a person sacrificed determined their reverence for God and personal commitment to live a life of holiness before him. And the children of Israel, after they were exiled, God got even more specific about how he felt about those who offered blind, lame, diseased animals for sacrifice. God wasn't happy. In fact, he said the people who gave less than their best despised his name.
Wow. Malachi 1:6 in the Classic Amplified says, "A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is the reverent fear due me, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name? You say, how and in what way have we despised your name?" You know, the New Living Translation of Malachi 1:6 makes it very plain. It says, "You have shown contempt for my name." But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? No matter what the translation is clear, it's pretty, that we might use or read, it's clear that God was very unhappy with the priest. Truthfully, they should have known why he wasn't happy, because he spells it out in Malachi 1:7. The next verse says, "By offering polluted food upon my altar, and you ask, how have we polluted it and profaned you? By thinking that the table of the Lord is contemptible and may be despised." God not only wants the best, he wants to be first, too. And also, I should say, let's look further at Malachi 1. This is 7 and 8. This is in the Message Bible. That makes it very clear. When you say the altar of God is not important anymore, worship of God is no longer a priority, that's defiling. And when you offer worthless animals for sacrifice and worship, animals that you're trying to get rid of, blind and sick and crippled animals, isn't that defiling? Try a trick like that with your banker or your senator. How far do you think it will get you? When we fail to give God our best, put forth our best, not only is he not happy about it, but the scripture says he will not even accept the offering. You know, there's that Ecclesiastes scripture, too, that says, because judgment is not swift after the, you know, the sin, mm-hmm. people feel that it's okay to sin.
That's true.
And you can get lax sometimes in what you think, well, God told me to do that, but I'll just ask forgiveness, you know? A church or a ministry may accept an offering, at least, you know, that's least than your best. But God is not that accepting. He knows your heart. Malachi 1:10 Classic Amplified says, "Oh, that there were even one among you whose duty it is to minister to me, who would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar to no purpose, an empty, futile, fruitless pretense. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hand." You know, there are a lot of things that we might like to hear God say about us. But I can tell you that we never, ever want him to hear that he has no pleasure in us. The Message Bible translation of chapter 1, verse 11 says it this way, "And there are people who know how to worship me all over the world who honor me by bringing their best to me." We think of the scriptures clear that God was not happy when the Hebrew children offered him less than their best. From these references, we can conclude that when it comes to our offerings and the lives we live for him, he's expecting us to put forth our best efforts.
Yes.
You might be thinking, well, I would never do that. I would never insult God by giving him an offering that's sick, lame, defective, or less than my best. But since the fact is we don't offer animals for sacrifice, we may not think this is relevant. But let's come back to the question that we were asking in a moment. Malachi 1:14 Message Bible says, "A curse on the person who makes a big show of doing something great for me, an expensive sacrifice, say, and then at the last minute brings in something puny and worthless. I'm a great king, honored far and wide, and I'll not put up with it."
Wow.
You know, we find it interesting that this verse says that the switch was made at the last minute. They promised something big, but as it says, it promised rains, but the clouds are empty, you know? So
that's
let's go
true.
To Matthew 21:12. It says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. The merchants in the courtyard were selling animals for sacrifice. This was done as a convenience for people who had to travel a long way. They came without a sacrifice. And perhaps, you know, decided to change the kind of animal they were sacrificing maybe at the last minute, or to buy it from the money, well, the I call them money changers, but to buy them out front to take them in." Jesus was not ignorant of the fact that this practice was set up at the temple because people were too lazy to maybe bring their best from home, or as an excuse to offer something less than the best because it wasn't available. Evidently, some of the money changers were even using less than honest scales, because in verse 13 of Matthew 21, Jesus calls it a den of thieves. Proverbs 20:23, Message Bible says, "God hates cheating in the marketplace. Rigged scales are an outrage.
Honesty in the marketplace is also mentioned in Proverbs 11:1 in the Message Bible, where it says, "God hates cheating in the marketplace. He loves it when business is above board." There are three things that upset Jesus about what was going on in the courtyard. First, the money changers were cheating people. Second, the money changers were selling animals for sacrifice that were less than the best. And third, I might as well say it again, God takes no pleasure in offerings that are not properly given whatever the reason. When the pastor takes a special offering, when you're reading a pardon letter from the debt-free army of some other ministry, are you giving less than your best? Do you pray and ask God what he'd have you give? I can assure you that God will never have you so less than your best. The question is not what he wants, but what you do in response to what he wants. God wants your best in every area, at home, on the job, or in family relationships. But when you come before him, you better come with your best. And that's something you really need to ponder and think about. I want to give you those three things that upset Jesus again. First, money changers were cheating people. Second, money changers were selling animals for sacrifice, less than the best. And third, God takes no pleasure in offerings that are not properly given, no matter what the reason. Think on these things. Hallelujah. God wants your best, not only a sacrifice. He wants your best. He wants you to do your best in the workplace, in your marketplace. No excuses. Do your best. That's what you need to keep in your mind, because that's exactly what God wants. Hallelujah. Well, until tomorrow morning, 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.